This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And let's begin with some presidential politics. We have less than 3 weeks to go before the Iowa caucuses, exactly 4 weeks until the New Hampshire primary, with six remaining Democrats who will debate tonight in Des Moines. You've got three senators, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Amy Klobuchar, former vice president in Joe Biden, former mayor in Pete Buttigieg, and a billionaire businessman, Tom Steyer. So who's got traction and what are the issues? Joining us is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, thanks for coming in.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right, so all eyes seem to be on Warren and Sanders in tonight's debate after some recent tensions. Remind us about what's happened.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because up to this point, the two progressives have been abiding by an unofficial non-aggression pact. But here's what's happened. So last night we learned that Warren said that during a private meeting back in 2018 with Bernie Sanders, Sanders told her that he didn't think a woman could win the presidency. So that's created quite a stir just 3 weeks before voting begins in Iowa. Sanders denies it, calling it ludicrous, saying, hey, after Hillary Clinton beat Trump by 3 million votes in 2016, why would he doubt that a woman could win? And in a statement from the Warren campaign today, it said, I have no interest in discussing this private meeting any further because Bernie and I have far more in common than our differences on punditry. But Tiziana, wait. There's more. There's more. Because all this follows the story over the weekend by Politico about a script distributed to volunteers for the Sanders campaign, which was critical of Warren, suggesting that she really wasn't going to grow the Democratic base because her supporters were basically highly educated, affluent people who would vote Democratic anyway. So that prompted this response from Warren.
I was disappointed to hear that Bernie is sending his volunteers out to trash me. Bernie knows me and has known me for a long time. He knows where I come from, what I have worked on and fought for, and the coalition and grassroots movement we're trying to build.
Now, Sanders says he's never personally attacked Warren and that both campaigns have hundreds of volunteers, and sometimes they do things they shouldn't. That's what he said. So he didn't deny it, even as he tried to sort of back away from being responsible for it.
All right, so that's some drama right there.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to play out on the debate stage tonight?
So, yeah, after setting up all that drama, my guess is that it won't. I may be wrong, but I think both Sanders and Warren, you know, now that they've sort of had a moment to digest this and calm down about it, I think they want to stay focused on the issues, and if they start trashing each other, that's only going to weaken their effort to win the nomination with progressive support. In other words, think of it this way. If one of them wants to win, they're going to need the support of the other, of the other's supporters. And they both have bigger fights to wage with the moderates on the debate stage, So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a calculation that will see them take off their gloves, but I doubt it.
All right. So foreign policy. Earlier this month, the U.S. killed a top Iranian general, Qasem Soleimani. Usually these debates kind of have been focused on domestic politics. What about this time?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big I think this will come up undoubtedly. And I think it's going to be a big issue for Joe Biden, who voted for the Iraq war, which has so much to do with why the United States is still involved in that part of the world. So expect his opponents, and particularly Bernie Sanders, who voted against the war, to go after Biden on this. Buttigieg, too, who served in Iraq, he'll likely challenge Biden, who's a fellow moderate. And in fact, I think with a smaller group of candidates than ever before on the stage, there's going to be more energy, more time for all of them to sort of do what they need to do. And I think Joe Biden is going to be in line for some pretty serious hits because he's still the front runner and his national polling numbers have been remarkably durable. And I think if one of these people wants to try to break out and really establish themselves as the front runner, they're going to have to take on Joe Biden.
Okay, not only smaller group of candidates than ever before, but no candidates of color left on the stage. So what's going on?
Yeah, right. So Cory Booker suspended his campaign on Monday. Andrew Yang didn't qualify. Deval Patrick is still in the race, but he didn't meet the qualifications for the debate. He said just today that tonight six candidates will take the debate stage, all remarkable public servants, yet tonight America will not see herself in full. And, you know, he's right, of course, but there's also another way to look at it. There's still diversity in gender, in age, in experience, in geography. And keep in mind that African Americans, who make up a large block of Democratic voters, the largest, in fact, support Joe Biden in very large numbers. A recent Washington Post Ipsos poll of Black Americans found that the top priority for a big majority of African Americans, 57%, was nominating a candidate who could beat Donald Trump. And yet, no candidates of color will be on the stage tonight, which is surprising given how many started out in this group.
Yeah. Also worth noting that an openly gay candidate, Pete Buttigieg, will be on the stage tonight. And just a quick note, he served in Afghanistan.
Thank you for that correction. Absolutely. Afghanistan, not Iraq. I misspoke.
That's all right. So you've been talking about and working on Bernie Sanders. There's a story that's going to air later this week about how well he's doing lately, but also about a kind of a sense of frustration among some of his supporters. I'm really interested. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders is surging, right? He's raising lots of money, more than any other of his Democratic rivals. He's leading in a bunch of polls, recent polls in Iowa and New Hampshire. And yet many of his supporters say the Vermont senator has been too often overlooked, discounted by the media and the Democratic Party establishment. So here's an example of that. I met Diane St. Germain from Bedford, New Hampshire, just this past weekend. She says she supported Sanders in 2016. She's been knocking on doors for him for the past 3 months. But she's frustrated because she says for too long, Sanders didn't receive the media coverage he deserves.
Well, there was virtually a blackout on all the mainstream cable stations over the past few months. It's only recently that they're recognizing that he is the strongest candidate to beat Trump, and they're doing so reluctantly.
Is that fair, virtual blackout?
Well, not really. I mean, in point of fact, no. In fact, according to a couple of studies, both by Politico and 538, Sanders is getting lots of coverage. But there's some background here that's important to keep in mind. This complaint was sort of born in 2016 when major TV networks frequently ignored Sanders on the campaign trail, but they feasted on Donald Trump's rowdy rallies. But many of his supporters still have a beef. They say many in the press have a sort of bias against Sanders, that he's too far to the left and he just can't win. And his supporters might have a point. And as an example of that, here's Adrian Elrod. He's a political strategist who worked on the Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. She took part in a forum here at WBUR City Space. She also does commentary for NBC and MSNBC and Fox News. And here's what she said about Sanders.
The reason why the media doesn't take him perhaps as seriously as they should is because they believe that there is a ceiling for Bernie Sanders. It ebbs anywhere from 19 to 22% of the vote. That if it came down to two candidates in the race, or even three candidates in the race, that he would still not increase his lead among where he currently is.
So I got to ask about that claim, too. Ceiling? Yeah. Is that valid, that there's a ceiling?
Look, I'm a reporter, and my answer is I don't know. And that's the point. Who's to say if he has a ceiling? What do we know? What we do know is that since he's returned from his heart attack late last year, he's only gotten stronger. He's raised tons of money. He's in the lead among his Democratic rivals. And keep in mind, back in 2016, lots of observers thought another presidential candidate who challenged political orthodoxy had a ceiling. That was Donald Trump.
Ah.
So, you know, got to be careful about these predictions.
All right,
does he have a ceiling? Not clear.
So we have heard complaints that the establishment isn't giving him oxygen. What does the quote-unquote Democratic establishment say about these claims?
Yeah, well, so I spoke to Barney Frank, the former Massachusetts congressman, about this. And he disagrees with this idea and says Sanders and his supporters are just intolerant of opposing views. Here's a bit of what he said.
They have a kind of a one-sided view. They are entitled to be very critical of the policy views of other people. But if people reciprocate by being critical of their policy views, somehow that's unfair and it's almost a conspiracy against him.
Now, I want to be a little bit clear about where Frank stands in all this. He hasn't yet endorsed a Democrat for president, and he says he'd work for Sanders if he wins the nomination. But here's the problem that he has with a Vermont senator. Frank says while lots of Americans support him on a number of issues, like higher minimum wage, higher taxes on the rich, they're much less supportive of the idea of making government really big. Big programs like Medicare for All, which would require a massive expansion of federal government. So that's sort of where the tension is right now. But Sanders supporters, and Warren's for that matter, are saying, hey, go big or go home. We tried the moderate approach back in 2016, and look where that got us.
All right, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, looking forward to more from you on this, Bernie Sanders, later this week. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more coming up. I'm Tisiana Deering. This is Radio Boston.